Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good, very cold ass freezing afternoon.
It depends where you're at, but
for here us, in Colorado it's cold. Springs, it's cold. It's yeah. Cold. For our special guest today, you guys know it's our weekly Pick'em show. Here with ESPN Los Angeles owned Raj Groves. What's going on, Raj?
80 degrees out here, but obviously a somber Los Angeles after the Kershaw debacle.
Hey, I am so happy about that, by the way. Hashtag go Nats. I see that you guys, LZ of you guys' crew, got to roll over the Kershaw jersey.
Yeah, he attended. I didn't want to deal with the traffic, so I was like, you go ahead, brother. And on the way out, some of the faithful Dodger fans laid out a Kershaw jersey for everyone to run over. So LZ was one of the guys. Look on TMZ Sports. It should be on there later today. They asked for us for permission to use it. But he got to run over the jersey, man. People's done, man. He's like, Kershaw, man, come on, man. Just don't pitch after October. Just let that man sit. Just man, he minding his own business in the dugout. He ain't bothering nobody. He didn't have to go out there. You know that man's
made. I was so happy. You guys afforded us the opportunity to win. Thank you.
He's got to start being the pitcher that comes in like game 3 or 4, where like you're up 3-1 or like something like that, and you're like, maybe Kershaw.
Well, he's still gonna give up the yams. No, you kidding me? It don't matter the score or how. No, he's still gonna give it up.
You can't let him start.
You know, that's what I was thinking last night before we get to the picks, man. I was sitting there thinking Bryce Harper must be sitting somewhere like, damn. Yes, I'm sitting here at home, like got my manager fired, you know. And they moving on without you, bro.
Bryce Harper looking at a picture of the Nationals celebrating. He's just looking like, I miss you guys. You should, Harper. You should. Eat your heart out. So let's get into what everyone, of course, is here and tuned in for. And that is, of course, NFL Week 6 picks. Also tied in with some fantasy football advice as well.
Like always.
Sure. Oh, yeah. The first game that we are going to get into.
Do we have to talk about this one?
Yeah, we gotta talk about the trash Thursday night games that the NFL gods have forsaken us with. Like, there was no love when the NFL made this schedule. There was none at all. When they made the Thursday night schedule, it was just purely like, it's Thursday night, let's just give them whatever. They're getting off work anyways.
I don't even know where the idea of putting this game together was. Like,
we're of course talking about Giants versus Patriots. Danny Dimes without the assistance of Saquon's Barkley.
Still.
Without the assistance of Sterling Shepard. We don't know what Golden Tate is doing, really. Evan Engram is not going to be in the game. So
who's playing? Like, is like,
you're absolutely positively not starting anyone from the Giants. Raj, we will let you start this one off, my friend. Who are you taking in this game?
We'll go quick. For the first time in daily fantasy leagues, the Patriots, who have given up the least amount of points going against a 32 ranked offense, their defense in DFS isn't number one somehow. So I'm like, hey, that's value. I jumped all over that. So, I mean, it's a 16.5 point spread, a 16 depending where you are. Obviously, it's another Patriot victory. I mean, who made the schedule for the Patriots, by the way? I mean, damn. Awesome. But anyway, I love their DBs and their secondary. Like you say, no, Barkley ain't playing. I mean, even isn't the backup Gollum, isn't he hurt too?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I got my shoulder pads in the car. I'm ready. If they need me, I'll go out there and try and, you know, be a third down back or something. I can pick up the blitz pretty well. But, yeah, it's an ugly game, dog. I mean, what will I be watching for? Jeez. I'll watch because, like, there's nothing else on, like you say. But it should be an easy game. Whenever you think it's this easy for any other team but the Patriots. Like, there's no such thing as trap games with the Patriots. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, I think they roll them. They romp them. I do think they even cover the spread. So, that's all I got on this one.
I think we're watching because we have to work the game tonight.
This is I'm not even proud of this. Like, I'm not even proud of this game. Like,
don't you wish you had saved your day off for this one?
Dude, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
What you got, Ty?
I mean, this is easy. Like, the Patriots don't have trap games. I agree. For all I know, Belichick called and Robert Kraft called, and they made this schedule for the Patriots because
I don't know how you let these guys walk through teams like this. This is an easy one for the Patriots. I wouldn't be surprised if they win by 20-plus. I know the spread's 16. I wouldn't be surprised if they put up 20-plus on them.
Yeah, it's a walk-off game for the Patriots. I'm riding with the Patriots in this one as well. I also want to add for Fantasy Nation out there, no Philip Dorsett. No Philip Dorsett as well. Julian Edelman will be playing, so no worries in regards to the to the chest injury. I don't know exactly who you're starting in terms of the Patriots wide receivers either.
I'm scared they don't play the whole game.
Right? I have a feeling that they're just going to run the ball in this one. I feel like you may be safe getting away with starting the Patriots running backs. And, of course, we speak of James White, Sony Michel. Rex Burkhead's kind of been on a decline lately, so we'll see what happens there. Getting into the next game, though, this one is weird. At first, we thought it was a typo because we were looking at you know, spreads and stuff on you guys' app, on the ESPN app. You know, where I also listen to ESPN Los Angeles, the LZ Keyshawn Travis show. Make sure you guys go and listen. But 7:30 a.m., and it's not in London?
A different country?
Yeah.
Which is Tottenham, where the big upset happened last week. Same stadium with the that where the Bears and Raiders played. Sorry to bring that up, Ty. Yeah. But this game's a strange game. I think it's entertaining. Yeah, the start time tripped me out a little bit. But listen, Christian McCaffrey, who for me is a leading running for MVP. I don't know when the last time a running back has gotten MVP.
It is.
What's that?
I was just double checking and researching that it is in London. It is in London.
Yeah, it's Tottenham, same stadium. Tottenham Hotspurs, where they play. But anyway, Christian McCaffrey over 100 scrimmage yards in 13 out of 14 game, including 179 in every game this year except for one. Who was it against? Tampa Bay, who still has got the number two run defense. They were number one, I think, last time we talked, so dropped off a little bit after an L to New Orleans. But this is an intriguing game. Kyle Allen, he's okay. He's come back to earth a little bit. But can the Bucs stop Christian McCaffrey twice in one season? And what Jameis Winston are you going to get? Only 200 yards last week, but he's like, gosh, he's heckling Jekyll. I can't figure out when Jameis Winston's going to play well. I'm giving that up. I have him on one fantasy league. Mm-hmm. I'm just leaving him on the bench, man. I can't figure him out, bro. You know, just, you know, if someone gets hurt or, you know, gets struck by lightning, I'll start him. But until then, I actually expect a big game fantasy-wise out of DJ Moore. Last time he had our guy Cam throwing to him. This time he's got Cal, who at least can throw. He still does well down the field, stats, throwing over 10 yards. Mm. So having said all this, I like the Tampa Bay Bucs. I just like the way they match up. I don't think, you know, they'll stop McCaffrey this time again, but I think they'll do whatever they do to contain it. Maybe it'll make a difference this time without Cam there. But I like the Bucs to win this game. I've been one of those guys, I can't figure them out. I mean, they're 2-3. I think they're two wins. I didn't pick them, you know, and their losses, I think they're real. This has been very strange for a number of teams this year in the NFL. But let me go ahead and roll with the Bucs at home here. In Tottenham, excuse me, not at home.
Yeah,
in the field. I'll go ahead and roll with Tampa Bay.
Wow. Okay. I like that. My biggest thing is the Bucs. I know they got the run defense, but they've already had their opportunity to stop McCaffrey. They succeeded. I think McCaffrey is just on too big of a horse right now. The man is just plowing through teams. You can bring one of the better defenses, again, that has stopped him. But McCaffrey's got to see these guys. And in my opinion, McCaffrey is going to make adjustments, not necessarily the Bucs defense, because they don't need to make adjustments. They did what they did last time. They should come out and try and slap him in the mouth again. I like Allen. I think he does get the ball around to a couple more receivers. Obviously, you know, Cam kind of that guy who shows up some games, doesn't show up other games. Mm. I think Allen's kind of brought these guys together as more of a team type of atmosphere. And I like the way it's rolling. Again, Jameis is my biggest thing. You could see 3-4 touchdowns out of the dude. You could see 3-4 interceptions out of the dude. You're not really ever sure. So I'm going to rock with the Panthers just because I'm more sure of them putting together a full game than I am the Bucs.
Gotcha.
Okay. Hashtag run CMC. So let's definitely, you know, make sure that we put that out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with that being said, we saw the time zone kind of affect Khalil Mack and as big of a disruptor in the game he is. Do time zones affect the bionic man that is Christian McCaffrey? And the question is, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Christian McCaffrey's still gonna go out there. He's gonna, you know, despite the Bucs, you know, being a top ranked run defense, they're still gonna get run all over. I like DJ more so than I like Curtis Samuel in this one. I just have that feeling in my stomach. But once again, you know, you have to factor in that you don't know which Jameis you're gonna get. If Jameis goes out there and, you know, Jameis is playing famous Jameis, which, you know, many people probably hope for out there in fantasy land. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they're just balling too hard. I like the dual backfield versus just Carolina being kind of one-dimensional. The offense does just flow through Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially with the 1-2 combination of Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones. I just don't think that Luke Kuechly and that Panthers defense have enough to be able to put together the W against all the pieces that the Bucs have. I just think the Bucs have more pieces. Joey Sly, kick your way to fantasy land, please. Hashtag North Stafford, baby. North Stafford alum. let's see here.
Game of the week.
Definitely not game of the week, but it is the Tank Bowl. We're actually not trying to tank. We're just trying to retune our culture. Like, I can understand, like, we were actually trying to tank. We're actually not trying to tank.
Come on now. Come on.
No, the Dolphins are actually trying to lose. So, with that being
here's
said.
Here's what I see on this play. Tanking is your team, so obviously you go first here. But organizations tank. Players do not tank. They're still trying to win. Unless you're the Dolphins. I've seen enough, and we've heard before the season started. The revolt, all this, and I've said this on this show before, they have quit on the season, still without a point in the second half. But go ahead and tell me how you did. Finally, the week, you guys are going to get it done.
We are going to get it done. We are going to get it done, and it is going to be on the account that the Dolphins aren't really trying to win. Josh Rosen, first off. Josh Rosen, you know, I really wanted to see this guy. Everyone in our audience knows that I've wanted to see this guy succeed no matter where he went. But I am now underneath the belief, especially of rumors, that the Dolphins may at the end of the season look to possibly trade Rosen away for another number one draft pick. Rosen's like that X that it's like, you know, I just hope that you just do well. Like, I just hope that you, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, it ain't with me, but I just hope that you do well.
He's got to start backing up some of that talk after draft day. He said some things that pissed a lot of people off, bro, and he hasn't really backed anything up.
So I just wanted to make sure I threw that out there. You know, I feel bad for this kid. But furthermore, I got to focus on what needs to be focused on. DC, let's go out. Let's get this one. I feel like we have the better players. Terry McLaurin's a must start. AP should be getting a lot more looks. Coach Callahan has them running from station to station in practice now. No more of that lethargic, lazy stuff. Other than that, I'm happy that Jay Gruden is gone. Bring in Eric Bieniemy. Bring in Eric.
Oh. All right. Go ahead, Raj.
Well, I like I say, organizations. I mentioned the taking thing. Organizations tank, not players. Obviously, Dolphins tank. Only other thing I have on this, I mean, you covered pretty well, is a change in the practice. I heard about that. Only other thing I have on this, I mean, you covered, got him staying after practice some. He's treating it like what the offensive lines did when he coached the offensive line. So it's one of those things. I think it lasts for a week or two, and luckily they get to play the Dolphins. So I'll keep it short and sweet. Redskins win. It'll be a parade. They get their first victory, and you guys will end the season with at least one.
There's only one parade that we care about in D.C., Raj, and that's the Nationals.
Oh, Okay.
Now you're on the Nationals. You're so against your team.
World Series, baby.
Oh, my
Let's go.
I can't handle it.
What you got,
I
Ty?
Am I beat up if I pick the Dolphins in this situation? Like, is that just...
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I want you to validate this now.
I'm just kidding. There is no validating this. There's no reason to pick the Dolphins. Like, again, the team has given up behind these guys. The Redskins have to look at this as the game they have the chance to win. I feel like the Dolphins, even at this point, that locker room is not like, hey, we can win this game. We're against the Skins. We can win this game. I feel like they just don't care. They're not coming together as a team. No idea what's even being attempted down there. So the Skins should win this one. Maybe not comfortably, but, I mean, they can put up a touchdown. They can put up 10 on the Dolphins. It shouldn't be bad. And I think it's a coast game for these guys. AP probably runs all over these guys to end the game. And I'm with you. We can have a parade. We'll probably celebrate. We'll get streamers on set. You never really know.
We're not celebrating a win against the Dolphins. I am not that fan. Next game, Saints versus Duval. Saints versus Jaguars. Minshew Mania ends. I'm just gonna state that first off, but we'll let Raj go this time. I want to hear what Raj has to say first.
You know, I was looking at this game earlier. I was making picks on a little league I play in. This one, at first, I'm like, I'm going to go with the Saints. And as I look closer, I mean, Jags are finally getting Fournette rolling. He's looking for his third straight game with 100 yards. But when you watch the game, when you see this Jacksonville offense, when they can run the ball, then you get Minshew Mania going, the Shark, Westbrook in the, out of the slot. Like, they look actually dangerous. Now, I heard that Ramsey may play this game. Now, the only way he's playing is if his head is right. Now, this is a team saying that, so I don't know if that's wishful thinking or not. But if so, that affects what I believe Michael Thompson can do. Obviously, last week he had 182 rushing yards, receiving yards. So maybe they can contain that a little bit. But, guys, I'm going to go for the upset. And I don't think – but when I thought of it, it doesn't feel like that big of an upset. Like, I think the Jags will win this game. And it's based off, they got to keep Fournette running and be committed to the run and get him going. It just changes the whole dynamic of that offense. And I still think their defense is good enough still. They still have enough talent on there that they can neutralize some of the Saints' weapons. So I'll go ahead and go with the Jags on this.
Nice. I like that. I agree that I think Ramsey is a major tilt in the scale on this game. If he plays, obviously Michael Thomas is going to be followed. And it's going to be a problem. You know, regardless of him not playing the last couple weeks, back injury, whatever type of injury you want to go ahead and say it is, he hasn't been on the field, but I still think he's a lockdown corner at the point where he can contain. Not stop. You can't stop Michael Thomas, but contain him. So really, I was already looking at this one same as you were. I was kind of like, man, like maybe the Saints on paper when you first think of it, and then you're like, the Jags have been rolling. Minshew has got them together. Yeah, tough loss last week, but they've got them rolling, and they're putting up points with Minshew. Regardless, though, honestly, I think Teddy can have a great game against the Jags. I think it's the run defense and Clay's Campbell that is really going to be the big thing that stops Kamara. So despite it being a good game, I agree with you. I'm actually going to go with the Jags because if Ramsey plays, that's a huge factor there. And again, Campbell has been Defensive Player of the Year-esque so far throughout this season. And if you can get him up there and stuff up the front, Kamara's not going anywhere but bouncing it to the outside. We know that's dangerous, but Minshew's just got to put up some casual points here. Don't make any mistakes, which he really hasn't been a mistake maker recently. So I think the Jags can get this done. I think Fournette can manage to get another game with 100 yards. And I think it's a very close game, but I like the Jags at home at that.
I'm rolling with the Saints. Oh, when the Saints go marching in to Duval, Minshew Mania is going to end. I promise you guys. I'm rolling with Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints. I just feel like they're clicking right now. Even without Drew Brees being there, this team is just so well coached, so well fine-tuned by Sean Payton. They have so many different looks that they throw at you offensively, to where as a defensive coordinator, I mean, you don't really know exactly what you're walking into, what to game plan for. So because of that, because of their ability to hit you with trickery, Michael Thomas, like you mentioned, constantly, you know, being effective. He always finds a soft spot in the middle of the defense, pick up, you know, good catches for about, you know, 9-10 yard gains.
Easily.
Very easily. Alvin Kamara is dangerous on the screen pass game. The blocking schemes with the Saints, just everything that I see on film with this Saints team, just gives me every reason to pick them. But I do have this as a slim victory for the Saints. If they pull this off, it is probably by like anywhere between a score of 3-1. It's a very close game.
Okay. Let's go to division.
Yep. Let's go. So Cincinnati, the prettiest, but dirtiest, nastiest city in the whole wide world.
Oof.
Say that in my Cat Williams voice. Against the Baltimore Ravens, which I feel like that actually might take the title. These two teams going up against each other. First, before we head into this, does Mark Andrews go back to being a top five tight end this week? If there's a defense that Lamar could pass on, it should be this one.
Tight ends are scarce.
Huh?
Yeah.
I like it, especially with a lot of the tight ends on the bye. Raj?
He does better at home. I think he's got he's aiming for his third game in a row at home with the touchdown. For whatever reason, he does better at home. But, I think he can bounce back to answer your question.
Okay. Well, what's your
question? Am I taking this game first?
Huh?
I didn't know if you were asking me about just Andrews or for the game.
Yep.
This game, you're like, okay, this is a mismatch. You know, it's a, you know, Baltimore is so much better. Then you look closer at Baltimore. For one, their defense is not good. I think they're worse in the league in yards per play given up. I mean, luckily they can, you know, when Lamar runs, they can hold on to the ball with Lamar and Ingram. And I think that's by design because for whatever reason, their defense has not been doing well. And per play, they give up a lot of yards. Saw last week the struggle. What is this, two games in a row Lamar struggle? Maybe even three. I think some of it, I mean, relying on two rookie receivers. Of course, Hollywood Brown, he leads all receivers in catches, yards, type for league, and touchdowns. Then you got Miles Boykin over there. And then, like you said, with you never know where Mark Andrews, if he's going to show up or not. Having said that, I mean, come on, the Bengals are just bad. They are really bad. And now you see more rumbling coming up about trading A.J. Green. He said he's prepared to go wherever, you know what I'm saying? So I doubt you'll see him in a, not only this week, obviously, but in a Bengals uniform. This one, a Baltimore Ravens victory. But maybe, you know, Dalton didn't play horrible last week, a couple touchdowns, 260. So he can maybe make it competitive for a while, but because of Baltimore's defense. But I think Baltimore has too much firepower, especially at home. I would take Ravens in a victory here. I don't see an upset.
Yeah, I'm not seeing an upset. Ty?
You know, the funny thing is I almost can see Lamar just on this decline, giving it up. But Andy Dalton is that much worse. Andy Dalton is that much worse. I've been saying all year, like, I can't trust the dude. I understand he doesn't have his receivers. We haven't seen Eifert in, like, years, in my opinion, basically. No AJ. But I think the Bengals are a week or two out of being where the Dolphins are in the team, just breaking down and giving up in the locker room at that.
Yep.
Mixon obviously is not getting it going like people thought he would. I mean, people, if you only got a game plan for Mixon, you're in trouble. You know, he's in trouble. Ravens can definitely get this one done. I know that, again, the defense isn't the greatest. This is probably a time for the defense maybe to put some confidence in themselves by playing a team like the Bengals, knowing, you know, they don't have the firepower to really put it up on us. Ingram's going to have a big game. I think this is going to be one of those times where you see a lot of runs by the Ravens. You don't necessarily have to see Lamar out there throwing the ball down the field 300-400 yards. But I think the Ravens can win this comfortably, and especially, like you said, by their run game in the second half.
Man! I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, state my pick first off that, yes, it's unanimous, Ravens. The Bengals are going to make the Ravens defense look like the Bengals or look like the Ravens of yesteryear. And that's going to be really awesome. That's going to be really awesome to watch. So go ahead, get the Ravens defense this week in fantasy for those purposes. Tyler Eifert probably getting ready to get shipped out of there. Let's see. AJ Green getting ready to get shipped out of there. Joe Mixon has not impressed.
Good luck.
Like, yeah, good luck. You're stuck there, buddy. It's time for you to put in Ryan Finley at quarterback.
Wow.
There's no need for you to keep this road going with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, thanks for all that you've done for the city of Cincinnati, but you could go too probably at this point. I'm sure the Dolphins take Andy. Take Andy. I don't care how it happens, but
let's just put three or four of these teams together. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can beat a team.
Yep.
Like, maybe they can beat a team.
When they got rid of Marvin Lewis after what, like 11 seasons, that's when I was like, blow the whole thing up. It's done.
Right.
So with that being said, with that being stated, I'm going Ravens. Let's see here. Seahawks, Browns.
Oh. The headband?
The headband. Raj, take it away.
Headband!
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, at the beginning of the season, you looked at this and was hoping it'd be a better matchup on paper. I'll tell you what about the Browns. That's another team I just can't figure out. Like, I'm missing teams by a week. Every time you think, okay, they done figured it out, they go get smashed, ran over on Monday Night Football 31-3 by the 49ers. Then when you give up on them, you come back and you look, and then they rebound and they have a pretty decent game. Might surprise you. Here's what concerns me if I'm a Seahawk supporter coming off your biggest game of the year. You beat the Rams based on a missed field goal, but you still see how well you played them. This is what we call a trap game. Now you're going on the road, you play Cincinnati out of the Cleveland, out of the conference. You see some of the glitter that came off of the Browns. You think Baker Mayfield stinks. Odell Beckham is stinking up the joint. My God, I have him in one league. I almost might have to hit this dude. I mean, you can't trade him at this point. But, dude, I think this game is going to be closer to me than people think, unless you think the Browns will win. I want to pick the Browns in one of those trap game situations where they can actually come home and, you know, Freddie Kitchen rallies the troops and everyone, the headband gets hyped. But, damn, I just can't because they the lowest of the low sometimes when you watch them play. And watching Odell is just, I don't see him playing for anything. So I'll take the Seahawks, but I'm telling you, I think this will be a competitive game, guys. I'll take the Seahawks in a win. Might take them a while to get warmed up on the road, coming off a huge win at home Monday night. Or was that Monday night? Or was that Sunday night? Whatever game. That was a Sunday.
Yeah.
This one, Seahawks, but in a close one. Just it's closer than you think, guys.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So first off, I want to shout out in the chat to Nick Howard, our local fanalist of the network. He said, piss off BKB. I am going to piss off BKB, but at the same time,
aww,
I am going to make him happy. So first off, let's just lead off with the bad part first. BKB, thank you so much for giving me Chris Carson for Joe Mixon. Oh man, that was such a great trade that I pulled off in the beginning of the year.
Let me just rub your face in it real quick.
Yeah, so first, I just want to say thank you so much. It just feels so
good. BME, I just want to make him feel better. And in the beginning of the year, I would have taken Mixon over Carson. So I would have been, you would have got me too on that. I didn't realize Cincinnati's line was that bad.
Oh, I was coming into the season hot with that take. I was like, Joe Mixon, no way. And I was like,
I haven't liked Mixon since the start of the season. I didn't think Carson would be doing what Carson was doing. I know Seattle likes to run the ball, but
I love that it was like a big debate between like fans, like who they were gonna draft and who they should pick. And I kept on always telling them, go get Chris Carson, go get Chris Carson. I'm right. I love it. So with that being said, I'm gonna trend on the path of continuing being right. And I'm gonna pick the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick the Seattle Seahawks. There's no stopping Chris Carson. Tyler Lockett, that toe drag swag, man. Just, I love it. I love it. I think he's got more of that in him, especially in this game. Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams are still out, so I believe, to my knowledge. So that's a big problem. DK Metcalf, he's making the big fantasy catches and getting you the big fantasy points that you need, especially if you're in a two-flex league situation. So I am saying you're starting Lockett, you're starting DK, Russell Wilson, you're looking like that you could possibly make an MVP type of run with the way that you're putting up your highlight reel, young fella. I'm rocking with Seattle.
Not hard for me. If you think about the wins that the Browns have, I mean, they demolished the Ravens, but we've just got done talking about how the Ravens defense really is not that good and is giving up quite a bit of yards per play and or per game. And what they beat the Jets, I mean, if they wouldn't have beat the Jets, we probably would have sold them out already. So they're losing some tough games, but after watching just the downfall of what happened, I feel like it is not easy to bounce back from a game like that. I mean, the Niners looked like Dan Marino was quarter. Like, we had Steve Young back out there. Like, I mean, they looked great. Like, Jimmy G was running through it. Like, the defense was killing Baker. I mean, I can't see this being an easy bounce back game for them, and especially against Seattle. I don't care. I mean, Seattle's bringing the 12th man to Cleveland at this point. Like, it's going down. Seattle should win this one. I don't see this being a blowout, but I don't necessarily see it being close. I'm looking at Seattle winning this one by between 10 to 14 on this. So.
Wow. Okay.
I think Seattle wins it comfortably.
Your friend, that one.
Odell's
and by the way, the receipt there, I see receipts. Your listeners got receipts. Someone drafted Mixon prior to Carson, so you weren't that high on Carson.
So what happened was,
he
knew that I was high on Carson, so he was like, let's switch. And I was like, yeah, you know I'm definitely going to take that. BKB trying to downplay it.
Hey, well done, BKB. Way to come back with that.
Look, he had something. That was beautiful. See, I love our
friends. That's called the internet got receipts.
Yo, I love it. Let's see here. Eagles-Vikings. This one is a tough one.
I like this matchup. I really like this
game. I really like this one. Raj, take it away, brother.
Yep. Again, I looked at it on paper. I'm like, wow, totally intriguing. And usually after I look up and down a game, I can find something that stands out to make me go one side heavy. Vikings won three of the past four against the Eagles, including last year, I believe. You know, Vikings are like my one little team I've been so high on, even though they've let me down a couple times. Kirk Cousins, after, you know, Nita Baker's, I apologize. To Thielen, he came out, he had a strong game. If he can do that, and you know I love me some Dalvin Cook, that's one guy I've taken early in a lot of things. I love me some Dalvin Cook and can help. I just, you know, like last year, it takes the Eagles a while kind of to get going, you know what I mean, to really get grooving. I don't think the Eagles are quite there yet. They're going to be there when Miles Sanders is the lead runner and Jordan Howard is the complimentary runner. It hasn't happened yet. Alshon's back, but I'm going to stick with the Vikings here. I'm going to go with it based on defense. They're just, their defense is so much better to me. The offense, both are comparable, but when Cousins is, he doesn't have to be hot. He just has to not be garbage.
Exactly.
And Dalvin and the rest are enough to carry that offense. So I think Kirk Cousins got it. He realizes what he has to do. Check out of some of those fifth running play in a row, throw the ball every now and again, you see what it does. I think Vikings win this game in a very intriguing matchup, probably one of the best games of the week, to be honest.
I love it. I love it. Again, I thought the same thing when I was looking over at least the morning games. I mean, this is definitely the game I'm most intrigued to watch, the 11 a.m. games at least. For me, I agree that I don't think Kirk Cousins is out of his funk, but I think he definitely has taken the right step to get out of it. And not that I think we see the same Cousins that we saw last week, because we saw a very winnable quarterback that was Kirk Cousins last week. Made good throws, found the right guys, obviously made Thielen happy. The Eagles, for me, they just don't have all the pieces put back together. We've seen Alshon out for part of the season. We've seen DeSean Jackson is still trying to officially get himself back into it. Again, Raj just mentioned the running backs. That where are we really going with that? Zach Ertz hasn't really been that top-tier, number one tight end guy that we've really been, you know, waiting to see. I have him in fantasy. I've been waiting to see it. I think Cousins is going to have a decent game. I'm going to take the Vikings. My other thing, again, you said the defense. Xavier Rhodes may not be the, you know, shut-down, crazy, amazing corner that he was a couple years ago, but he is still phenomenal. He is still a great corner. He can still get at Alshon Jeffrey and push him around a little bit, I think. And without them having D-Jax to take the top off, again, Ertz not really being that, you know, Kelsey Kittle-esque tight end, you know, catching it and going for 60 yards like we're used to. I think the Vikings can manage to pull this one off.
And again, Dalvin Cook, if they're up at all, Dalvin Cook can manage, keep the game by himself, win the game officially by himself by just running the ball down their throats. So Vikings by this one. I again think this will be a close game regardless. I think it's going to be the best game of the week.
So I went and I looked at, you know, the turnover ratio for the Eagles.
Just two.
Yeah, it's just two. I'm not confident in that, especially against this Vikings team. Dalvin Cook is a guy that holds on to the rock. You're not making him fumble. Like, I'm sorry. He's going to run through you. Not over you, through you. So that's a big issue. I always say that self-assessment can be your biggest teacher and the one of the biggest factors in making you a better person. I also believe that in football, you know, make yourself a better player. Kirk Cousins says that he looked at the film. He went out last week and he showed us. I think that this week he's going to show us, but this time he's going to have both receivers involved, Diggs and Thielen, especially because the Vikings, they're going to want to get Diggs involved so they can raise that capital on him, make him a more hot commodity, even more of a hot commodity, and look really nice to a team. Like, look at what this guy can still do. We just weren't calling the plays earlier. Look what happens when we call the plays. So I look for that to also be happening, especially as we get closer in the season, or later in the season, deeper in the season. Other than that, I mean, I say you could take a gamble, you could take a chance because of what I just mentioned, because of my take just there, and maybe even start both of these receivers in fantasy. We will wait for Raj to get back. Looks like we've lost him. But I say that you can probably get away with, you know, maybe taking a risk and starting both of these Vikings receivers in fantasy. I don't think that it's far off. I don't think that it's a long shot. And then, of course, obviously Dalvin Cook looking like, you know, the second coming of Adrian Peterson up there, and of young Adrian Peterson up there in Minnesota.
Dang, of AP.
Yeah. So I'm rolling with the Vikings.
All right.
Before we go,
we all three. Did we all three pick that?
Yeah, this is a rough week. We're all picking the same team. Somebody's got to say something.
Except in the beginning. I think we had some splits in the beginning. But, yeah, that was a game I thought for sure we would be split on.
So do you guys think Kirk Cousins is out of his funk? Or do you think, maybe not necessarily this week, but do you think in the next 2 to 3 weeks we will see him go back to costly errors, overthrowing, yes, Thielen, not making throws to Diggs? Or do you think he's at least, again, taking the right step out? Even if he throws a touchdown and no interceptions, that's the right step for me compared to what we were looking at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, but when you see, okay, I got a running game and two damn good receivers, possible Pro Bowl receivers, I think something clicked where, not just with him, but let's say in the coaching staff, that, yeah, I think it's clicked a little bit. So I think you'll see not a hot streak like I mentioned, but not a garbage streak either. So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I think he's out of his funk.
Okay.
Have we watched the film on this man? There's no way in hell that I'm saying that he's out of his funk. He is too inconsistent.
As long as it's not close at the end.
Well, again, if he can go out there and say, I made a change in my game before this and prove there was a major change. You just said, I mean, that was this Kirk Cousins, this Kirk Cousins. Like, they were entirely on opposite sides there. If he can get into that routine, whatever he did before last week, he can be fine.
He'll ball out this. He'll go out there. He'll ball out this week, and then he'll go back to being Kirk Cousins next week. Let's see here. Texans Chiefs.
I like this.
So first, the Colts did beat the Chiefs on Monday night. So are we approaching this pick with caution, gentlemen? Make sure you know we have our takes all gathered. Raj, you're up.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it was a 19-13 loss, like you say. Now, was it the injury? You guys are watching close. Was it once Mahomes went down with the mobility and just being able to throw off that foot or that pivot? I wonder what that's about. I think what's the difference is with the Chiefs right now, the high flying offense is the running game, the lack of running game. I just think that threat set up so much, and they've just, to me, it's been struggling, you know, a little running. Maybe it's because they have no, you know, guys in and out of the lineup being hurt. Tyreek Hill practiced last week, so hopefully he'll come back this week. They say Sammy Watkins did not practice today with that hamstring. If you don't practice Thursday, that worries me a little bit. So they've got Pringle, they've got Hardman, they've got Robinson, like so many weapons and receivers, but it just seems like they can't get on the same page right now. Deshaun Watson, last game, a good thing to see was did take a sack, I believe. It was the first time, and I don't know how long he didn't take a sack. However, Andy Reid being 5-1 against the Texans, I think they realize, hey, we got to get back to what we were doing, which starts with the run. I bet you they'll focus on that more this week. So to answer your question, yeah, I do think the Chiefs rebound. I think they win this game. They're at home, which we've shown they've still had a slow game at home. But I think they win this particular game. Don't think it'll be a blowout by any means. But Houston, I'm just not a believer really in Houston. I don't, you know, not that I was a huge believer in the Colts and they came in and won. But I think the Chiefs rebound and they get back on a winning track in this one.
Okay.
I'm taking the upset. I'm taking the upset. You kind of mentioned the Chiefs don't really have a run game. This is almost the same philosophy for both offenses. Lots of throwing down the field. Obviously, Watson moves with his legs a little bit more, but the Texans aren't a team that you think of running the ball down your throat at the end of the game. They still rely on Watson to manage to get down the field in crunch time, even if they're leading. But my biggest thing is the Chiefs have proven, yeah, their offense doesn't take long in the field, but they give up yards. Their defense has no problem letting the ball fly, give it up. I think D-Hop finally comes back, puts up maybe even 2 touchdowns in this game. I think he has a great game, and I think the Texans' defense can get to Mahomes. That ankle and or leg hole situation has been bothering him for a couple weeks. We saw him kind of bounce back in between, but you saw without him being able to get out of the pocket or really step onto that foot, there was not a lot of air under that ball. Yes, it's still him. He's still got a rocket of an arm, but it's not the same. He's not trusting himself to go down the field as much. And honestly, without Tyreek Hill being able to take a quick slant or a screen for 80 yards, Travis Kelce's another one of those guys. Tight ends really haven't shown up this year like we expected them to. So unless this is going to be the Kelce come-out game, I think the Texans can pull this one through just by the Chiefs' defense giving it up. And Watson's been in some close games this year. You saw him almost. I mean, I would have put money that he finished that game in New Orleans earlier in the year, but Drew Brees is something else. So I think the Texans have played some close games. I think the Chiefs are on a little downhill after losing.
You know, I think I'm going to blow the Rum Nation's mind right now. And then we're going to get to that fantasy question that's in the chat there, because that is a good fantasy question there that we got. I am going to go ahead and I am going to select the Texans.
Ooh.
And I am siding with everything that you just said. Okay? Now, this is going to be a knockout, drag-out, shootout game. Okay? Hopefully, you got Brian Pringle off the waiver wire. If not, hopefully you had already had Miko Harbin or DeMarcus Robinson. I'm fortunate that I have the other two, DeMarcus and Miko. I'm not trusting even Mahomes. I don't like to be one to predict injury, okay? But this is now in 5 games, 2 of the games, that exact ankle has been rolled up on.
Yeah.
I have a very bad feeling in my stomach that J.J. Watt is going to fall on that and is going to reactivate the soreness, and he's going to be pulled from the game. There is not enough receivers. The starting receiving core is not there anymore. All that you have is Travis Kelce. You cannot improvise and make up plays enough to account for that. Your backfield is all banged up. I think that Bill O'Brien gets a break here. Under normal circumstances, Andy Reid is going to outcoach the hell out of Bill O'Brien on any given Sunday. But it's just not going to be this one this week. and because of the circumstances of what his personnel is looking like. Really quick before we get into the rest of these games, gentlemen, I want to see here, Rafael Markel in the YouTube chat asked, trade away Zeke and Edelman for Cooper, that is Amari Cooper, not Cup. Trade away Zeke and Edelman for Amari and Hilton. The other running backs that he has are Josh Jacobs and Chubb. I'm not sure if I'm getting rid of Zeke in any capacity.
Zeke is off to his worst year in his young career, for whatever that is. Maybe it was the holdout, you know, we talked about that. But I think as he gets going, I would love to know who his other receivers were. Are they that bad? Because obviously he does have depth at running back, which you mentioned. But my question is, are your receivers that bad that you have to give up that phenomenal depth for one of the best running backs off to a slow start to get that receiver? So I just think better days are yet to come for Zeke. And I don't know if I would make that deal either, unless he just had no receivers, unless they were just like redskin receivers, just trash. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Then you got to make that deal to balance out the roster. But it's hard to say without knowing his receivers. But Zeke's better days are coming, I believe.
For me, honestly, you already have Edelman. I know Edelman's not a top-notch receiver, but Edelman can play your wide receiver one, worst-case scenario. And honestly, if you already have Jacobs or Chubb as a flex, you're just putting one other receiver in there, and you're rocking three starting running backs and Edelman. I mean, I'm not looking to do anything there. Like, again, Zeke might not be having the season we think. There's a lot of guys not having the season we think. And there's some names that we don't know about that are blowing the scene up. I mean, Shark came out of nowhere, like Robinson, a lot of these guys. So I think as we get into the second half of the season, I think some of the big names will start to wake up. We'll see the Cowboys run it down people's throats with Zeke. Same idea. So I wouldn't do anything either.
Yeah, unless you were getting Cooper Kupp, Raph. No go. If it was Cooper Kupp, then yeah.
Your receiver, and you have Godwin?
You have Chris Godwin and John Brown, no worries. Yeah, no.
That's what he said? That's what he said?
Yeah. Yep, here it is right here.
Oh yeah. Oh, sit tight, man. Oh no, sit tight, bro. You're looking good. I'd stay the depth at running back.
Hold on to Zeke, don't worry about it yet.
Exactly. So next game, Falcons Cardinals, gentlemen. What are we thinking here? Rog, you're up.
Yeah, man. Cardinals, we talked about, just been bad all season. I mean, another L last week to Houston. Other than that, one win on the season. Deion Jones, we got a sighting from. They got 11 tackles last week. That was good to see. Matt Ryan, actually, you look at his numbers, it hasn't been bad. You know what I mean? He's putting up numbers, but maybe they're just not in crunch time situations. A -5 turnover ratio, which means the defense isn't turning over the ball. Freeman is finally doing okay from scrimmage yards wise, but having said that, I mean, they're going to Arizona. I know Arizona got their first win, but they're just still a bad team. David Johnson's health's in question a little bit. I don't think they'll have a big problem going in. Now, it might be a high scoring game, a shootout, but the quality of the Falcons starters, just in a game like this, it has to shine. Even on defense, some of these underperforming guys, Trufant, you know, Grady, Jarrett, these guys, they all got to step up. And I think this is the kind of game where they will step up and perform and get their second win of the season. And again, it's not like Matt Ryan's having a bad year. It's not, I don't put it all on him, but it's just the whole makeup, Quinn, something like we talked about. It's just, I just don't think it's going to last. Like, someone has to be blown up. You had your Super Bowl a couple years ago appearance, and just hasn't been right since then. And sometimes you got to shake it up before it's too late. You know, you end up like Cincinnati holding on to these core guys. And for what, you know?
Exactly.
So I'll take the Falcons.
Okay.
I like it. I can't pick the Falcons again. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Nope. You're done with them? You're done?
I can't do it. I'm booting them out of my contention. Like, I think this is honestly a trap game for Atlanta. I think Quinn has these guys ready. I think Ryan and Julio are looking at this thing like, all right, like, I mean, the defense is probably licking their chops right now. Like, ooh, Kyler Murray's coming to town. Like, the Cardinals,
Can you do that at 1-4? Can you have that mentality where you can look past anyone when you're 1-4?
You shouldn't. But you got to do that to some teams. I feel like Atlanta's looking at this as an easy win, and I feel like this is a trap game. I feel like Kyler and them, yeah, I mean, they played Cincy, so really they probably shouldn't gain a whole lot of confidence from getting your first win from Cincy. But I think that this is just a rough game for Ryan. I think he's going to have a hard time getting it out to people. And again, the biggest problem with me not picking the Falcons is this going to be the week that Matt Ryan shuts me up like he has every other week with whether I picked or haven't picked them, and he's going to go out and do it. But if you're asking who my pick is, I think the Cardinals can manage to get this upset in a very scrappy but close game. I think they can get their second win of the season.
All right.
Yeah. I think little Kyler Murray. I think it's so funny when they do his voice like that in Gridiron Heights. I die. I think little Kyler Murray can go out there and do his thing. We just released a Kyler Murray interview this morning on our YouTube channel. Make sure you guys all rush over to the Run Boys Fantasy Network and check that out. Of course, after you're done watching this one first. But I'm going to rock with the Cardinals. I'm not picking the Falcons anymore until they can find Julio Jones.
Y'all don't forget about the Dirty Bird? We're going to dance? No? Y'all don't care about the Dirty Bird no more? No?
No, Dirty Bird is gone.
Y'all doing the Cardinal dance. All right.
It's dead. The Dirty Bird is dead and gone.
The Dirty Bird got washed by Matty Puddle.
Oh.
That's what happened.
It's done. It's done. I'm not trusting that Atlanta defense. I'm not trusting Matt Ryan. I can't.
Did we both just pick upsets for the same team?
We did.
We did.
It's been that kind of season. Guys, it's been that kind of season. I mean, let's face it. I know we all like to pick upsets and we sprinkle them around, but dude, this stuff's been wild, man.
Yeah.
That's the NFL for you.
Yeah, love it.
49ers Rams.
Wow.
L.A.? Let's
see. Yeah, this one, obviously, before the season started, we looked at this like, we're over to play Seattle, got that little game there against the 49ers. I and no one else had the 49ers being undefeated, obviously. National television, the country got to see them last week smash the Browns. I watched them a little bit before then. One little nugget coming out, Todd Gurley, who he came out of the game last week, injured his quad. He didn't practice again today with the quad injuries. Now you add that to the arthritic knee. You're wondering, are we finally going to see some Malcolm Brown or use the rookie for once? They haven't used him at all. I think he has like one or two carries on the season. Listen, the Rams can still put it up. Goff has probably the best. I'm going to give them the best receiving trio in the league in terms of if you had three of them. I don't think there's a second. These guys, Cooks, Woods, Cooper Kupp after the catch is scary to me. You see this guy, his determination. He's got some juice. It just concerns me that they, with Todd Gurley, they abandon the run. They throw so damn much. And their defense is giving up 350 yards a game. You look at all those names, they're giving up 350 yards a game. Because of all the turnovers from Goff, they're -4 in the turnover ratio. They're still favored to win this game. I think Vegas has the wrong team favored. I think San Francisco is going to go in there and win this game straight up. Brett getting it going. Kittle, finally we saw him, make an appearance. I just don't see how San Fran, Rams can't afford to lose this game, but the Niners are just a better team. I've seen enough of both. They've drafted and you saw them invest against that front seven. I think they got seven first rounders or something like that playing in that front seven on defense with the 49ers I'm talking about. I mean, they've invested in it. It's finally coming to fruition. Buckner, Bosa, these guys. I think they win this game, man, and the Rams are looking at 3-3, like, their schedule gets a little softer, the Rams, coming up here, but they got some very winnable games. But this one, I'll take the Niners in the upset just because I've seen the both teams, and I just think the Niners are a better team.
I like it. I'm going to have to go with the same. Right when you said they got the wrong team as the favorite here, I agree. I don't know how the Niners aren't listed as – one of the teams to beat in the NFL right now. Like, especially them getting in Baker's head. I get that Baker hasn't had the year we all thought, but honestly, Goff has been a little shaky from past years. I mean, I haven't really seen a whole lot from him where I'm play actions, Richard Sherman. I just think it's going to be tough for them to do it without a run game and pull the W without a run game. So I'm going with the Niners in a closer game.
Okay, okay. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Niners get their first loss. I think that the Jared Goff and the Rams, they have enough weapons where they think they can get it together. I need them to utilize Robert Woods a whole hell of a lot more. That would make me very near, dear, and happy. Because Cooper Kupp and now Everett has emerged onto the scene. There's just so many different receivers that get the ball on that Rams offense. I feel like the Rams, they can run with the 49ers, especially now that the 49ers are not going to have Kyle Juszczyk back there, the fullback. They're now going to be looking a whole lot more like every other NFL team in regards to every other team doesn't run with the fullback. So I look for this, you know, to kind of be a back versus back game between Gurley, Coleman, you know, Brown, as well as Breida. They're going to be going back and forth, but this one's going to be won through the air. I like the Rams here in this one by a touchdown.
Okay, I like it. Big running backs in this game.
Yep. Let's see here.
Titans Broncos.
Yep, Titans Broncos.
Ooh, you guys, like, could you guys figure another team? Have you guys figured out the Broncos? I know you're right there in the backyard, but my goodness, what a helter-skelter team! I mean,
you should hear people in Denver. It's ridiculous. Like, people are not happy. They're upset. We can't trade Von Miller. Are you kidding me? There's a whole lot. They should.
He's stuck on two sacks still, so he got his first two a couple weeks ago. So still on two. Obviously, they got the win. Which was basically a Brown home game. So a couple of my Bronco fans went there. Like I said, it's really sad at this Charger situation out here. It's such a small stadium. There are no Charger fans out here. So all happens is the road team just comes up and takes over the stadium. So they really don't have a home field advantage to the Chargers. This game intriguing. Tennessee, another up and down team. But one thing that's been consistent is they turn the ball over, man. They'll get you to turn it over. They're a plus six on that. I think that might lead the league right now. And Broncos a minus four. Like, that's – I like turnover differentials, but that's a glaring difference there. But the Broncos found one thing they do. They only let Flacco throw 20 times. Phillip Lindsay, I think he had a season-high 147 scrimmage yards. Freeman had a nice game again. He's been doing his 100-plus scrimmage yards and 200 the past three at home. It's one of the games. I keep asking you guys about the altitude and if that makes a difference. Gosh, this is one where Tennessee on paper should win this game, but I just don't think Tennessee is a good enough game to, like, put together back-to-back good performances. So having said that, that's funny from Nick Howard there. Having said that, I'm going to go with Denver at home. I don't believe in the Titans to put together back-to-back good games. And Denver did lose close games prior to this, even though they only have one season or one victory, excuse me. So at home, I think Denver wins this game with some turnovers. And you need Von Miller has to show up in this game.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I feel like. One of the things I agree with the most was that the Titans not going back to back.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm going to pick the Broncos. I'm going to pick the Broncos in this one. They have every loss day that they lost hasn't been like they've gotten blown out. They've been close games. Just work the time of possession a little bit more, Denver. Maybe you pull this one out. Phillip Lindsay, pound that rock between the tackles. You guys can pull this one off. I'm gonna rock with the Denver on this one. Let's see an upset.
Okay. My thing is, I mean, you guys are saying the Titans are this week, that week, and I mean, I agree, but they only put up 7 last week, and that's painful. That's painful against a Broncos team that has not really got the engine going by itself. These guys are still in the back pushing it themselves, trying to even get it moving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they can contain them. I think Mariota has found some receivers, and that receiving core has kind of come alive for him. Yeah. There's a couple guys out there. I mean, A.J. Brown, and they've showed up for him. And again, Derrick Henry has not been shy about running through people. Broncos defense so far just hasn't convinced me that they can get this one done, and the Titans defense has convinced me otherwise.
Yeah.
Again, even a loss last week, they gave up 14, but again, that's at the time where your offense did not have the ball a lot. You only put up 7, and they weren't moving the ball more than 15, 20 yards at a time. So I think the Titans defense not even has a bounce back game, but has a good game. Flacco's a good game manager, but I feel like the Broncos still just don't trust in him. Fangio will not let him throw, like you said, more than 25, 30 times a game. And you can't rely on Lindsey to run through this Titan defense. So, not that it's an easy game, but I do have the Titans in this one on the road. Sorry, Bronco fans. You're taking another L.
There you go. No. Hey. Cowboys versus the Jets.
Oh, come on.
Another Cowboys gimme. Raj, gloat away.
They are. So, our victories are the combined teams we have 3 victories against, I believe, have 2 wins on the season. I went to this game. I went to Dallas with my Packer buddy. We hung out. We went to this game. Dak threw for a career high. I think it was like 463, a couple touchdowns. Unfortunately, that came with 3 interceptions. And that killed them, got them in the hole early. They had to dig out of it. Zeke had 91 scrimmage yards. But again, we talked about it earlier, only, 62 rushing, 29 receiving. So this is his worst start of his career yardage-wise. Gallup is the real deal. He's back. Frees up Cooper. Cooper's doing well. The Jets are, they're not even putting up 180 yards of offense a game, the Jets. Now, of course, part of that was they were out their quarterback to get Sam Darnold back. I just don't think it makes a difference. There's just not going to be enough firepower. I think they can ugly it up a little bit. That's what the Jets are going to need to try and do, but their defense is still giving up 340-some yards a game. Now, maybe because they have to be on the field so much and they wear down, but I don't think they can muck it up enough to keep them in the game. Dallas, they look up, they see that 0 in the win total for the Jets. I'm like, oh, we got this now. Dak will look like he wants to get paid. And so Cowboys should win this game, break their 2-game losing streak. They better. That's all I got to say.
I agree. Jets. Darnold coming back, I don't know whether that makes me more comfortable or less comfortable. I mean, it's hard to come back, especially against a defense that is of the caliber of the Cowboys. It's hard to get yourself back in the mood. And again, him not necessarily being an injury, it was him being sick, having mono. I mean, he probably wasn't out there enjoying himself, even if he had to throw the ball, if he had to practice. Like, that's hard, man. Like, being sick, let alone with something like that, I have no idea how that would go, but I can't see this being an easy game for him to come back into. Le'Veon is going to have 8 dudes in the box eating him up at all times for the Cowboys defense. And I agree, this has to be a bounce-back game for Dak. Or we're going to have to start talking about how he's not worth the money again. Because he went from everyone saying, you're not worth the money, to like, damn, maybe you need to pay the guy, to we're back in the last week or so to, like, maybe we don't need to pay him. So I think there's going to be a bounce-back game for the Cowboys offense. Defensively, I don't think it's a problem holding down Darnold, who is just coming back, and Le'Veon, who is, in my opinion, 75% of that offense.
Nick Howard, Raj is a Cowboys fan. He's a Cowboys fan.
Yes, but if I had to use Nick, because we're the station of the Rams, I do, like, I'll go to their games, and I want them to do well because that means I get to go to Super Bowls too. So, but I'm a Cowboy guy. Ain't nothing like being on the road, boy. I love on the road on ESPN budget. Woo-hoo!
Oh, yes. Hey. I like it. Let's see. Steelers versus the Chargers, Sunday Night Football. I'm intrigued here because that Steelers defense has been playing stout lately. But Devlin Hodges, oh, gosh. Raj, what do you think?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's in Los Angeles, inside that stadium, so it will be a Steeler home game. I mean, watch this. Just pay attention to the crowd, if you can. Just look at it real quick. Watch how much black and gold, or whatever they call it, is in that. Black and yellow is going to be in the crowd. They are going to take them. You know, Pittsburgh travels well. I was explaining to someone, Cowboys, Packers, Steelers are three of the best traveling fan bases I've ever seen. They're going to take that stadium over. You're talking about their defense, flying around. They're a plus five on a turnover ratio. Devin Bush out there, the rookie, got his first career interception. I'm worried about Rudolph, though, man. You know, 103 yards. Juju showed out a little bit, seven catches. I've been talking about Hard being the number one. He got a little touchdown. I saw that last week. Melvin Gordon back, Phillip Rivers, and they lost, you know, one last week to Denver. It's a bounce back for the Chargers. Again, another team hard to figure out, but they'll be 500 after this game. I think 3-3. They're used to just the other team taking over the stadium. I just don't think the Steelers can do enough with Rudolph. I'll have to go with and Jalen Samuels. He's hurt, right? Jalen Samuels, is he going to be out? I read something.
Jalen Samuels is banged up. I don't expect him to play.
Yeah, I got to go with Chargers on this one. Although Steelers defense can make things interesting. It's going to be a home game for the Steelers, but Philip will bounce back. He'll go, gosh darn it, guys. Darn it. Goodness gracious, you know, and just non-cursing. He'll get him to win. He'll get the W for him.
As soon as you started doing that, I was like, he's straight making fun of Phillip Rivers right now. I love it.
I got respect for that.
Yeah.
It's hard to crush your frustrations without cursing. Come on now.
Yeah, you can't swear if you're Rivers. You're going to have 10 copycats yelling right back at you like, Daddy, throw the fucking interception. Like, they're going to be yelling at you. I mean, I
go for it, Ty.
I agree with it. I think the Steelers' defense is really what's been keeping them in games. But Rudolph, I mean, I know these guys are professionals. They're quarterbacks. They take hits like that all the time. But that was one of the nastiest things we have seen in a while. I mean, me and Robbie do not get shook, especially like on camera a lot. And both of us had a good couple minutes of trying to talk to keep you guys entertained because it was a bad thing. So I don't really know how he bounces back in that situation. The Chargers have been a little shaky trying to push Melvin Gordon back into the lineup. I feel like they were just a much better flowing machine with Eckler and Jackson. I think that's just going to come with time over the next couple of weeks. But the Steelers' offense is really what worries me here. We haven't seen Connor. We haven't seen Juju. Yeah, they throw in, sprinkle a little touchdown here and there. You just mentioned Juju's touchdown last week. But I think the Chargers' offense can get it done. Rivers is not a guy to make a ridiculous amount of mistakes. Yeah, the turnover ratio is in the Steelers' favor, but Rivers is not a guy I see going out. Like, if he throws one interception, he's kicking himself right in the butt and being like, you cannot do that again. Do not lose this game for your team. So,
goodness gracious, God darn it.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. It's funny that him and Lynn are both just, like, so proper, like, together. I think that's hilarious.
It's
great. It's just so Cali-friendly out there. Like, I don't
know. Can you really take it serious? Like, if you're an offensive lineman and you let a guy sack him and if he ain't cursing at you, I mean, do you really take it serious? Like, googly wiggly, Bob, you need to make that block, you know?
Right. Right.
No. Like, sorry, Dad. I mean, Philip, I'll get it again.
I'm taking the Chargers in this one. I think it'll be a good game. Both these teams kind of have some things to prove on both ends, so I think it'll be a great game, good Sunday night. But I'm taking the Chargers.
All right,
I'm with it. Let me start off with the fantasy half of my take. Okay, you are absolutely positively starting James Conner. Let that man spin. There's no Jalen Samuels, Jalen Conner owner, or I'm sorry, James Conner owners. This is our time. This is our time to go out there, and they're just going to pound the rock with them. There's nothing else that they can do. Half these receivers can't even catch, with the exception of Deontay Johnson, and even once he catches the ball, he has a problem holding on to it. No, I'm not digging this. Juju's going to have a down week, I feel like, because Devlin Hodges is going to be forced. Maybe Juju has a really good week because Devlin Hodges is force-feeding him. I just don't feel like with a name like Devlin Hodges, you're going to go out there and win, so therefore I'm going with Phillip Rivers.
You said that about Gardner Minshew! That was the first thing you said. Bro, I'm not going to be able to say this guy's name. I can't say this name. We got to get Nick Foles back in. He's like, I can't say this dude's name on air. I can't take it serious.
And now it's like the most greatest thing.
One week later, Robbie's rocking a headband. He's about to get a mustache. Oh, the dude's got a Jack jersey. He's like, I'm on the train, bro. I'm conducting.
No, I just, I don't see it happening. He's a third stringer.
Okay.
So I'm rocking with the Chargers because they're against the third stringer.
Well, Mr. Hodges completed 7 of 9 passes. He'll let you know. All right.
I think he's not going to do it against the Chargers. We'll see. let's see.
Monday night.
Yeah. Rumday night football. Lions. Ooh. Packers. Oof. Who are we going with here? This one is a tough pick. Raj?
Yeah, it is a tough. And on, I mean, who knew at the beginning of the year this would actually be a good game? If the Packers win this game, they'll have beaten every team in the NFC North. So that's impressive. And if you ever needed to know why passing stats don't mean crap today, gosh, I wish I could be Philip Rivers and not be Philip Rivers and curse. But if you ever wanted to know why, Matt Stafford needs 352 yards to become the fastest quarterback to 40,000 in NFL history. That's all you need to know. Passing stats don't mean crap for receivers, especially quarterbacks. I mean, this day and age, you just throw the rocks. If you've ever seen 40,000 meaningless yards, you know, where probably 35 of them were meaningless, it was Stafford. But having said that, this is one of those games where I want to pick the Lions, because you remember how they fought KT back in week 4, I think that was, lost 34 to saw they get. He should have won that game. They would have won the Cardinal game, but Cardinals came back and tied it at the end. I want to pick the Lions, but having seen, of course, like I said, I was at that Packers Dallas game and seeing that defense firsthand, they're +7 in a turnover ratio. I mean, gosh, and it is real. You watch it. Aaron Jones, now you've finally given Aaron Rodgers, well, you've always had Aaron Jones, but they finally, the new coach lets him actually run the damn ball. He had over 5.5 yards a carry the year before, but he's coming off career day. They did that without Davante Adams, their offense, and now Davante should be back this game. The defense setting up the offense, and Aaron doesn't have to play Superman. I mean, I think they win this game, they being the Packers, and I want to pick the Lions. I like the way they're spunk. I like their spirit, but I just can't. And it's based on the defense and the running game the Packers now have. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to play Superman, but we know if he needs to, oh, he can do that too. Check that box. Packers win this game.
I like it.
You pretty much took everything I wanted to say here. Packers defense has been on a tear. Not that we, you know, haven't seen it. They've made great improvements of it. Again, I hate they went out and got my boy Amos. That is half the reason he is bringing the fire to these guys. It is what it is. But, again, the Lions scare me because they are, yes, Kerryon's there. They've improved that. It looks better. They're running the ball, which is new to the Lions organization, honestly, aside from Barry Sanders, basically. But they do have to throw the ball a lot. They have no problem throwing the ball on first, second, and third down in a row. I don't care what it is. And that's a scary defensive back entirely. I don't care who you got going on there for the Packers. So I think it's easy for the Packers to go ahead and win this one. I like Patricia. I mean, obviously defensive-minded. You go ahead and do your best to stop him. You can't entirely stop Aaron Rodgers, like you said. If Jones isn't getting it done on the ground, which he has been the last couple weeks, I expect him to keep doing that. There is Aaron Rodgers. There are receivers there that Rodgers can get it to. And I can't see the Packers going down here. I mean, I know we've been talking about Lambeau being a place maybe to go to get W's, but not in the division. The Packers always seem to play the division well, and everybody seems to have the Lions number. Though they've played well, I think the Packers can get it done. We should be playing.
Yep. So it looks like TJ Hockenson, first off, is going to be playing in that game. And that was actually going to be a heavily weighted scenario in my take here. Hockenson looks like he's going to be playing. We know there's going to be no Davante Adams for the Packers. I'm taking the Lions.
Real quick, TJ Hockenson on the concussion is a full go and did fully practice today.
Awesome. So, just the Lions, them having Kenny Golladay,
Marvin Jones and TJ all there healthy. Plus, carry on my wayward son Johnson. I'm taking the Lions in the upset. Just Aaron Rodgers is going to have – we see what happens when he forces the ball to Marquez Valdez-Scantley and Geronimo Allison. Those guys don't have the same level of hands as Devontae Adams. I think there's going to be some drop pass, some errors on the Packers' part that in some critical third down situations that results in the Lions getting the ball back, march down, and scoring. I see this looking a lot like the Kansas City game, except the Lions come away with it.
Okay. Well,
I like it.
And we can't – and that also
– that cute little story's done with the Lions, huh? You think it was a fraud start?
Was that?
With the Lions, the cute story, I mean, you're taking the Lions. Excuse me. That's right. Ty. Right. Yeah, you are taking – you're believing in the story. You're believing in the hype with the Lions.
I'm believing in the hype with the Lions.
I mean, I could use a Packers loss, so that's
– I know,
I'm with you. Like, I could use a Packers loss.
Hey, for fantasy, do you guys trade Odell Beckham?
So, at this – it depends on what I'm getting. If I'm trading Odell Beckham, I'm looking for at least two pieces. Let me get RB2 and a wide receiver 2, you know, if I'm trading OBJ, because there is going to be upside. I mean, he could go off later in the season. I almost want to say you could sell high on OBJ. You just want to make sure you're getting the right things back.
Are you selling high?
I mean, I would do my best to sell high. I get where he's at right now, and people are kind of looking at him, but there are absolutely people that are Odell fans regardless of the situation, maybe quiet Odell fans, that I'm sure even if you don't look for the trade, even if you say, hey, Odell's on the block, you know, don't BS me, I'd like a good trade, and take some offers. I think it's harder when you're trying to shop him yourself and looking to trade him. Then people are like, well, why are you trying to give me Odell? You know, maybe open it up, see what people are willing to offer for it, because I agree. I mean, I'm still looking for at least a receiver that I can plug in every week and not be concerned about, or not be like, do I take him out? Do I put in a bench guy? Like, I at least want a quality guy that I'm not worried about week in, week out.
Exactly. All right, so bench guy, start someone like DJ Moore over him. Let's say, you're not going to trade him. Do you just bench him and start a guy like that, Shark, or someone? Do you start an RB?
Oh, yeah.
Do you start a wide receiver two over him?
Oh, I would definitely start DJ Shark over Odell. Like,
what about DJ Moore type guys?
DJ Moore, I don't know.
I think it just depends on their matchup. Depends on their matchup.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Yep, go ahead.
It scares you because Odell has that potential for a blow-up game, but you got like a DJ Moore is good, those consistent double-digit points. You know what I mean? There's some consistent 8 to 10 points. It's right. Like, ooh, you're in something if you got Odell, man. So that's just something else. You're in a conundrum watching that one.
Yeah, you probably could start DJ Moore over.
He's killing people this year, I'll tell you that. He's making people throw phones, break computers. Odell is ruining people this year.
I tell you what. Ooh. He got benched in my lineups, and DJ Shark is starting in place of him.
Oh, wow. All right.
You ball, you get the call. Other than that, let's see. Anyone have any other fantasy questions, though? Anything else?
Oh, I got a
good one. Go ahead. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay, I got a good one for you. I am steady dealing with this situation here. I get bye weeks, whatever it is, so like it's not a problem this week, but I am constantly between Austin Eckler now, who obviously we know where his role is kind of diminished a little bit, but he's still putting up points, and Josh Jacobs. As a force.
I don't – that's not hard. I mean, for me, is it PPR or no?
No.
Then Josh to me.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs all day.
He's Eckler. Getting the rock as number one, and they are feeding him, as you got to see firsthand. Josh Jacobs in PPR, I'd think about it a little because they're not using him as a receiver, and Eckler does have that role, and he will, you know, get those little points added on. But if it's a standard league for me, it's Josh Jacobs. That one is, I'm really confident in that one.
It's killing me. Eckler was absolutely killing him in every aspect until Melvin Gordon comes back in. So
he'll still have a role, like you say, but it's not that number one role.
I have one, and this one is actually going to be fairly difficult, okay? And then we'll wrap. If you have the Bears defense, and you already know what league I'm talking about, Ty. If you have the Bears defense, do you, and they're on a bye this week, do you keep them on your roster and just stay with two defenses? Or is this a point that you just cut ties and you string defenses the rest of the year?
We got a tough schedule coming up.
Yeah, I'm in a league where I'm streaming defenses, and it's been a challenge to say the least. You know, and I play IDP leagues. It's one league that we play team defense. So it's like, fine. So it's the last thing I pick, you know, other than kicker. So it hasn't killed me, but it's not winning me games. But if you say the Bears have a tough defense or a schedule coming up, what can you get for it? Can you get someone, if you just look at a defense and they got two good games in a row where you'd start them? If not, then you got to hold on to the Bears, I think, just because of the turnover ratio that they can get. You know, when you got Mac, the sack, fumble recovery potential is there on almost every passing play. So I look at a team, and I read this stat somewhere, if you're in doubt, look at a team that gets to the quarterback, because so much can go wrong if you get to the quarterback, you know. So I, in a way, I'd say to hold on to them, because streaming defenses, it can be a tight walk, man. It could be a high wire act, man.
I'll tell
you this: whoever it is, if you drop the Bears defense, somebody with a good defense will go pick the Bears defense up just to pick up the Bears defense at that. Like,
so you'll get another. Yeah, you have a shot at getting another good defense, though.
I think somebody just holds the Bears defense, to be honest with you. I think somebody looks at that and is like, you know what? In the right week, I'm going to play the Bears defense and I'm going to put up 20 points with this defense. Like. So,
we'll see.
Defenses are one of the toughest things in fantasy.
I agree.
Speaking of, make sure you guys tune into our Saturday Night Fantasy Football Start Sit show. Ooh. I always do that.
You need to hang around Phillip Rivers more. Phillip Rivers wouldn't say that.
Right, exactly. So happy that we're on YouTube where I can't get an FCC violation for that. But make sure you guys tune into the Start Sit show. This week is going to be Saturday. Usually we do it Sunday mornings, but this week is going to be Saturday night because there's a London game in the morning. Other than that, do we have anything? Check out the Kyler Murray interview that we dropped.
Hey.
Kick it with us tonight for Patriots versus the Giants, or Giants versus Patriots. Raj, what's going on in ESPN Los Angeles?
We're still dealing with the hangover from being out of the playoffs for the first time in a long time this early. Kind of people on manager watch. Of course, Socia's available, Madden's available. People are they're already firing Dave Roberts. However, I doubt they're going to fire a guy that won 106 games plus you just re-upped for 3 or 4 years. You know, people forget that little part. You just got an extension. Teams don't like to fire a guy they just gave an extension to that won 100-something games. So, anyway, we're dealing with that, and of course, football with picks, with the fantasy advice. I help people out on the Twitter and whatnot. We're going to do a lot of football. Looking forward to the Rams big game against the 49ers and the other ones, as we spoke of as well. So it'll be fun.
Awesome, awesome. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys for tuning in, chilling with us. To honestly, the greatest, collab to ever happen, you know, between these two entities.
Oh yeah,
weekly pickems are some of the best. That's accurate.
Yeah, weekly pickems are some of the best episodes we do.
Oh yeah, I agree. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, cheers to me.
Cheers to you.
All the wrong boys and girls, what to do? Daily, daily.
Later, y'all.
And we are good. Wait.
Cool.
Hang on. You can do it, laptop. There we go.
Nice.